Live from the toll booth at the Staten Island Ferry, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, schemer, honest lawyer, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a wily competitor if ever there was one, Richard J. Ringhausen. Also featuring, are you tingling with anticipation? Sculptor, daredevil, marksman, the 7-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man whose brother once killed 2 groundhogs with 1 shot, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen. That's Allie to you.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Ask me a question. I'll give you a question.
This opening that I just heard.
Yeah.
To where, you know, like, usually you give the opening for, you know, your background, and then Greg Ringhausen, you know, the other guy that used to be around.
The late Greg Ringhausen.
And then the late Greg Ringhausen, because he's always late for everything. And then you move on to me as the last one. But I noticed that in tonight's program intro, you use part of my intro to brag about yourself.
Well, I'm your brother. I just assume that's one of the things that you like to brag about, the fact that I once killed 2 groundhogs with 1 shot.
I look at it more as just kind of like hogging in.
Well, next time you write the opening. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Earlier today, I was watching the movie Enter the Dragon.
Oh, that was Christopher Lee. Bruce Lee. One of the Lee brothers.
The one that I remember was Bruce Lee.
Okay. Yeah, karate movie.
Karate movie. A wonderful karate movie.
I don't know.
But, yeah. So I look up a little bit about Bruce Lee, you know, how old he was and stuff when he made that. And, you know, he died really young from a brain aneurysm or something like that.
From getting too many kicks to the head.
Possibly. But one of the weird things that came across when I was looking all this up was his funeral. At his funeral?
Yeah? He came back to life?
He did not come back to life. But do you know who his pallbearers were?
Well, I assume a bunch of guys dressed in, like, you know, karate suits.
Well, probably. I mean, his brother was one of them. Robert Lee. His name really was Robert Lee.
You mean just like the Confederate general? Okay.
Takei Kimura and Dan Inosanto. And none of those probably mean much to you. But the other guys that were his pallbearers included Steve McQueen.
No, that's
James
pretty cool.
Colburn, Chuck Norris, and George Lazenby. It's like the cover of Paul McCartney album.
Yeah, Band on the Run. My question, you just named off, 8, 10 guys? Bruce Lee put on a lot of weight before he died?
Yeah, but, you know, it's a
take that many guys
ceremonial
to carry
thing. Huh. It's a ceremonial thing.
I guess.
And they weren't dressed as karate experts. They were dressed as dragons.
And halfway through the funeral, while they're carrying him to the grave, did a rival gang show up and, like, attack them all to where they all had to fight their way to the graveyard?
that would have been more of a life story then, wouldn't it?
That was Big Trouble in Little China, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I just thought that was an interesting lineup of pallbearers. Steve McQueen, James Colburn, Chuck Norris, George Lazenby. along with the other non-famous people.
Yeah, he was one of the James Bonds, wasn't he? George Lazenby.
Yeah. Have you ever watched that one when he was the James Bond?
He just did one, didn't he?
He just did. He was one and done. But he was. I went back and watched it finally, and it's pretty good.
George Lazenby carried off James Bond. He's not. He's no Sean Connery, but nobody is.
Well, no, but he's a little more emotional, and at one point in the movie, he wears a kilt.
A kilt? Well, isn't that
a kilt?
Isn't that Sean Connery's gig?
I don't know, but George Lazenby did it. Mm. You're going to trust me on this one, Rick.
How did he look? Looked pretty good. You have good legs?
Well, in a heterosexual analysis of it all, yeah, I guess so.
You were the one that was telling us you were comfortable saying how handsome a man was.
Put on a kilt, okay?
You know, I don't believe that's true.
Makes sense.
I just think that if you've ever been to Walmart, there are people that will wear anything, and they don't care what they look like in it.
Okay, here you go, making fun of the people at Walmart again.
I love Walmart. Don't give me. I go to Walmart all the time. Don't give me that. And I'm sure I'm one of the people that the other people look at and go, can you believe that guy's dressed like that? So,
well, do you think that maybe people are saying that about you as well?
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what they probably say.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm watching TV the other day, and on the show, I think it's golf, and they say, and so and so is from Utah.
They do a lot of golfing in Utah.
What do you call a person from Utah?
Utonian.
Nope.
Utahite.
Nope.
I'm out of options. What
they
else is
called? They're called Utahns.
Oh, I thought you were going to say idiots.
No. You know what you call...
someone from Illinois? An idiot.
Do you know what you call a person from Michigan?
Wolverine.
Besides that?
I don't know. Unemployed? I kind of like that.
They were called Michiganians.
I was going to guess Michiganian. Michiganians is my go-to.
They had a statewide vote and changed it, and they now call themselves
Iowans.
Michiganders.
Yeah, just the men. The other ones are Michigeese.
Michiganders.
The women. The Michigeese. Get it? Did you get that?
The goose and the gander? Is that?
Yeah, yeah.
What's good for the goose is good
for the gander.
Good
for the gander, yes.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, I just thought you wanted to know that.
I did want to know that, and I appreciate knowing that. You know, we had some bad weather. Were you caught?
In Florida?
No, in Illinois. Were you caught in the bad weather?
You know what's weird is they built this up and built this up and built it up, you know, like it was the worst storm, the storm of the century, right?
Yeah, perfect storm. Like everyone was going to be killed by tornadoes.
Yeah. You know, like it was going to wipe out half the country. They made it out like it was the worst storm that anybody alive was ever going to experience.
And this was a big storm that was going to rip through the Midwest, right?
Yeah, like half the country.
So
I sat in my basement and watched TV and didn't even know there was a storm going on.
So you went to the basement.
I'm a basement creature. That's where my TV is.
Oh, it wasn't that you went to the basement.
That's where I go and watch. I go and watch TV there every night. Okay.
With your arm around your wife.
And so it was like no other night than just another typical night. I didn't notice any loud howling wind. I didn't hear anything that sounded like a freight train. None of that.
You didn't look outside.
I go outside this morning expecting to see every tree and shrub in the yard blown out by its roots.
And everything looked fine.
I saw no damage anywhere. Nothing.
Well, nothing. Ain't that something? What's the worst storm you ever been in?
Worst storm I've ever... Well, I'm going to say it was probably a hailstorm. Hailstorm hit at our house.
Yeah.
And I mean the hailstones were bigger than baseballs. I mean, they were enormous.
Oh, right.
And
I'm not sure I believe
and
that.
And it totaled our car. It just beat it to pieces. It destroyed the siding on our house, ruined our roof. broke out windows. I mean, it destroyed everything. Like we got an air conditioning unit outside.
Yeah.
It just beat it to pieces. Had to get a new air conditioner.
Were you home at the time?
I wasn't. I was just like a few miles away from home.
In a bar.
And I hear the storm warning comes off, and it says, you know, large hail coming to...
And you go, yeah,
it
right.
It starts to hail a little bit. As I'm driving, I thought, man, I got to get out of this. And so I pulled into a car wash and just sat there and waited it out.
Was it baseball-sized hail there, too?
No, it wasn't that big. It was about the diameter of quarters.
So how do you know it was baseball-sized when you got there? Because it's been my experience that hail just melts away right away.
Oh, this did not melt away. And, like, our entire yard was just pockmarked with these indentations from these giant hail balls. And they were still laying there. They were huge. It was amazing. And plus, my wife was at home at the time.
What'd she say that sounded like?
She had the presence of mind to video it, the whole thing.
Oh, so you had proof.
Yeah.
So if I call you a liar, I would not be accurate.
Well, you know,
about that.
You calling me a liar is something I'm relatively used to.
Because you lie all the time.
I think it's hurtful, but but I think hurtful. That in this case, there is video proof.
So what did wife say it sounded like when she's inside the house?
Like a freight train.
No, no kidding. Oh, you know, every big storm sounds like a freight train. Every time there's a tornado, it sounds like a freight train. But she said this sounded like a freight train?
She said it sounded like she was inside of Larry Clunk's drum set.
Oh, now I understand completely.
Okay?
Yeah, I get it. Larry was our old drummer
who
beat the drums as hard as any human being could.
It was like being inside of the small apple cooler with the amplifiers turned up to 11.
Okay, I also understand that too. So my question...
Explain what happened. Scenario.
Okay, that scenario is that back in the days when we had a band, we would sometimes set up in the cold storage to practice. But one night, because it was really cold, we set up inside the little walk-in box, which is a room, I don't know what, like 20 feet long and maybe 10 feet wide.
It's about the size of a trailer truck.
Yeah. And we set all the equipment up inside of it with the drums and the guitars and amplifiers. And not only did we have the guitar and bass amplifier, but we had like a full PA system set up inside of that thing. And we did our practice inside of it. For days and days afterwards, my head rang. To this day, I have tinnitus, I'm sure, it's from that night. So that was a bad thing.
That was definitely the most hearing damage that I ever endured.
And you say that the wife said it was noise like that when the hail hit your house.
Yeah.
Now,
and like the video that she had, you know, with the sound in it, it was incredible. It was a roar.
Do you think that if you'd been outside in it, it would have killed you?
Absolutely.
Really?
It would beat you to death.
You think it would have been fatal, literally fatal, to have been out in that hailstorm?
Well, I think that one solid shot to the head with a baseball-sized hailstone would knock you down, and then the rest of them, they just kept coming, would have just, like, tenderized you like a steak.
Tenderized you. I feel kind of tenderized anyway. Okay, I got a commercial for you. You dying for a commercial?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, here's a commercial. Tired of gnawing on boring turkey legs every Thanksgiving, or Easter if you cook a turkey for Easter? Well, here's something different. Flamingo legs. You heard me right. Flamingo legs. Long, meaty, with a distinctive nutty flavor. Nothing will satisfy your hungry diners like a flamingo leg. And who do we have to thank for this wonderful treat? You guessed it. Your favorite culinary genius, Uncle Den. Uncle Den has reached out to his contacts in exotic Baghdad and is now the country's biggest importer of delicious flamingo legs. Every bit of 3 feet long, these tasty delicacies will have your family tickled pink. So don't wait. Order yours today. Uncle Den's fricasseed flamingo legs. Offer void where prohibited. So there.
Do you know why flamingos are pink?
I have no clue. Because their feathers are pink.
No, their feathers turn pink because of the stuff they eat. There's like some kind of bacteria or something in these shallow lakes where they feed on like mussels and stuff.
Yeah.
And it creates this pink pigment in their feathers.
So if you and I like ate nothing but the stuff the flamingo eats, our hair would turn bright pink, flaming pink.
If it would, I would try it.
You know, I think I would too. Just it would be interesting to see whether you turn not just your hair, but like your skin, if you turned really, really pink.
You guys look like flamingos. It's all we eat. We eat nothing but what
flamingos.
The same diet as flamingos. And look how long and thin our legs are.
Now, you mentioned Florida. You know that you cannot legally kill a flamingo. Flamingos are protected. The state bird.
Are they now?
They are indeed. You cannot kill them. But they eat flamingos in Iraq, which is apparently why Uncle Dan...
Now, wait a minute. You're saying that you can't kill a flamingo in Florida because they're protected or because they're, you know, endangered or just because they're the state bird?
Yes, that's right.
One of those. Because, you know, like a bald eagle.
Yeah, you can't eat them either.
No longer on the threatened and endangered species list, but you still can't.
You still can't eat them. No. But in Iraq, they eat flamingos. So you can import them and eat if you want to eat flamingos.
So, like, if I went on the internet and looked up canned flamingo meat in Iraq,
you could get it.
I could probably get some shipped over here.
I think so. You know, and I just...
I could sit down at a table in Florida and legally eat it.
Well, void where prohibited, man. But don't you like the...
I was on a ship at sea just off the coast in international waters.
Eat all the flamingo you want. Just eat flamingo. You could have like a secret club that... You know, where you meet all the time with your rich buddies and eat flamingo.
Like the freshman.
Yeah, exactly. But don't you like the visual of a flamingo drumstick?
Well, it would never work for me because my arms are too short.
Your arms are too short to be able to gnaw the meaty part off.
My mouth.
Yeah. Well, I can see where that's an issue. But most intelligent people would simply run their hand up the leg bone a little farther so that they wouldn't have to hold it from the end.
Well, who eats a drumstick like that? You're just talking crazy now.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable.
So, besides, I don't want the leg bone. I want the neck.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of good gnawing on that, too, wouldn't there?
You betcha. Did you know that a flamingo eats every single bite of food with its head upside down?
I believe that, yeah. They scoop, their bill is like upside down backwards, and they scoop with it. They turn their head upside down,
yes,
and scoop.
Sir.
And then just swallow it down.
They must have incredible peristalsis ability.
Yes, that peristalsis ability is just incredible in a flamingo.
Ah. Swallowing.
Swallowing, yeah, okay. I knew what you said. But I know that you can't resist the urge to throw in a... A 10-cent word when a 5-cent one will do.
Thank you.
Eh. Okay, going back to these hailstones. Okay. You know, think about a hailstone the size of a baseball, right? That's generated. Yeah. The hailstones are formed when they have a little piece of ice and the up current inside of a thunderhead will sweep it way up and it'll fall back down with its weight and get caught, and it goes up and down several times, and each time adds a layer of ice to it, so that it's like layers and layers of ice, so that a baseball size hailstone has gone up and down inside of a cumulus cloud, you know, probably, or nimbo cumulus cloud, you know, maybe 20, 30 times to get to that size. Now, the top of a nimbo cumulus cloud is what? How high is that? Is that, 2 miles up? So you're going to drop...
2.5.
You're going to drop...
2.5.
You're going to drop something the size of a baseball, that's an ice ball, 2.5 miles down. I mean, it eventually hits, terminal velocity where it can't go any faster. But still, I gotta believe, you know, that it's gonna go right through your windshield. When your car got cracked up, did it smash the windows with the big hailstones?
They were all busted up, but you're like, the windshield has that safety glass, so it didn't just shatter.
Right. So did it have like a...
But it was all busted up.
Okay. And the windows of your house...
It was all spider webbed.
Windows of your house got it too, right?
Yeah, busted them.
That's pretty...
And like the siding, just like, it looked like somebody had been shooting at it with a submachine gun. It was just pockmarked all over it.
So you had to replace your siding, your windows, and your roof. I mean, did you just tear the house down and start over? Or?
Pretty close. Wasn't much left.
And the air conditioning unit, I think you mentioned that. And you had to get a new dog, right?
Yeah.
Dog was outside? You did not have to get a new dog. Do you know back when we... You remember...
Yeah, Rick.
What?
We didn't have to get a new dog, but we had to change his name to Lumpy.
You remember back when we were at St. Mary's, the one-room schoolhouse, right?
One-room schoolhouse.
Whenever there was a tornado warning, they'd get a phone call. There'd be a phone call saying there was tornado warning. Because back then there was no internet or any sirens in this school.
We didn't have a phone.
The school was out in the country. Yes, there was. There was a phone in there. My question is, what was the protective measures that were used for the school children when there was going to be a tornado hit that area?
You put your head down.
We did that too. But my recollection was that Mrs. Allen also lit a candle.
Okay.
Oh, you laugh. You know, every time there was like a tornado or a big storm, you know, she'd bring out the holy storm candle and fire it up.
Right.
Well, was that school ever...
And we'd say a prayer.
And we'd say a prayer. Was that school ever destroyed by tornadoes or storms or anything?
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, okay, there's your answer, isn't it? You know, we need to be getting some of these storm candles, holy storm candles, and light them whenever there's something going on like this. You know... The fact that your house got destroyed by hailstones tells me that there was no holy candle lit in your house.
Oh, you know, since you brought up that one-room school that we went to.
Yeah.
You know, like, we were the end of the era. I mean,
the last one-room
shut down.
Last one-room school in Illinois, and we were the last class in it.
You're right. So, what would be interesting to know is how many people... that attended that school are still alive.
It's just you and me, isn't it?
Nah. I mean, of the last... There were 14 kids still attending that school when we went there. And I think that of those 14, like 12 are still alive.
I think so, too. I'm trying to think of who would have passed... Oh, Chuck Gringhausen passed on.
Chuck Gringhausen and Mary Wolfel.
Oh, that's right. She was in my class. Well, I'm guessing it'll probably end up being just me at some point.
I was thinking just me, but...
I guess as long as it's one of us.
How many people do you think are still alive that attended that little one-room school?
I'll bet you a lot more than you think. If I had to guess, I'd say 100.
Oh, I was going to say 200.
Yeah, probably so.
There's probably 100 gettins.
That one-room school was kind of right in the middle of Gettinville, wasn't it?
Well, I was up there one day, and they were working on it. And, you know, there was, like, probably 30, you know, local farmers up there. And just in the middle, they kind of stopped and were talking. I said, how many of you that are here right now attended this school? And everybody there, except for one person, raised their hand.
You know,
and that one person was our dad.
You know, the interesting thing about that school is that they closed it in 68, I think, is when it closed. And it's not been used since then for school purposes at all. But they maintain it like it's a museum. You know, put a new floor, on it. I mean, huh? I know, but my question is, once it got to be a certain stage of rundownedness, why didn't they just tear it down? I mean, as opposed to putting a whole bunch of effort into fixing it again, like they're going to reopen a one-room school.
Because there's over 200 people out there that are welling with pride that they attended that place.
You know, they have to keep it together long enough so that they can point it out to their grandchildren. You know, I went to a one-room school just like Abe Lincoln. Well, one year.
And Rick, when you're the last guy,
yeah,
the only one left, you got to go out there and say, go ahead and tear it down.
Tear it down.
I'm done. You tear it down.
There's none of us left. Man, we can have Brad and Dennis tear it down. They didn't go there.
And then bury me in the hole that it makes.
I thought you weren't getting buried. I thought they were cutting you up and giving all your parts to different universities and studying your brain for like they do Einstein's to see what mental diseases you had.
Well, this is after I'm dead.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Well, I feel better now. Yeah, I'm fine with everything you just said then.
I
think we're out of time.
No, we're not. We got just a couple more minutes so that I can.
Well, my clock's different than yours, I guess.
It is.
Sorry,
but
I didn't mean to step on your toes.
Thank you.
Okay, what were our toys? What were our toys that we played with at the one room schoolhouse?
Oh, geez, I remember like a ViewMaster. Only it wasn't a. It was before the ViewMasters with the round circle pictures. They had a thing where they just had like stereogram photos that they would drop into a holder. And you ever want to take turns going up to look through the stereogram? I remember that.
Oh, sure. You bring that up. First graders weren't allowed to play with it.
I know. They'd have a fourth grader who would hold it and you would just walk up and look in it.
I remember they had like a kit of musical instruments. Remember that? They had like a like a bell, and they had.
And in the 3 years I was there, I don't remember ever having any sort of musical, you know, class or any sort of musical program or anything remotely like that.
Hmm. I don't remember that we even sang.
No, we just lit candles. And I guess on that, I guess we are about out of time now. So we'll have to revisit that one of these days. All right.
Okay, one more thing. You know what you call a person from Nevada?
Broke.
Sinner.
See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour has been brought to you by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. And by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with this little bit of legal business completed, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Except no substitutes. You know, there aren't any.